Hi everybody, and welcome back to Lab Tech Unplugged, where we discuss topics that impact the life sciences. I'm your host Rachel, and in this episode of our Spotlight on Sustainable Science series, I'm joined by Helen Cavill and Paresh Patel from SPT Lab Tech, where we'll be discussing all things consumables. Helen has been with SPT Lab Tech for 8 years, and as Manufacturing Engineering Manager, she leads the team of manufacturing engineers who take new products from development into full production, designing packaging, optimizing processes, and training the build line all along the way. Paresh joined SPT Lab Tech in early 2023 as product manager for liquid handling consumables, which includes everything from tips, syringes, and plates and accessories. Paresh has spent his career in genomics and molecular diagnostics product development, as well as sample management consumables. So, welcome to you both. Thank you for joining me today. How are you doing?
Really good, thanks.
Very well, thanks.
Good, thank you. So, to kick things off, every life sciences lab relies on consumables for their daily operations, like pipette tips, tubes, and plates. So just thinking, if we take pipette tips as an example, Paresh, I was wondering if you can give any context on perhaps the average volumes used and if we're seeing any trends at all recently.
Yeah, sure. I mean, when we talk about average consumption of tips, it of course it depends from lab to lab, and it also varies based on lab throughput. But I would say, as an average, we are talking about at least 15 to 30 tip racks per day for each football lab. Now, that amounts to around 3 to 6 kgs of plastic waste just coming from the tips and the racks. Now, if you talk about annually, we are looking at least 3 to 6,000 kilograms worth of plastics from tips and racks. So that's a significant number. If you talk about trend, then yes, definitely it's increasing, especially with increase in healthcare and diagnostic settings, and also with increasing switch from manual to automated workflows.
Yeah, so it's clear that there is a lot of plastic being consumed daily from labs, but it's not in research, it's not just as simple as creating the greenest consumables. Obviously, there's a lot of other rigorous requirements that labs need to stick to. So, just wondered if you could speak any more to that at all. Helen, do you have any ideas on that?
Yeah, so for example, on making a plastic component more recyclable, the best thing is to have one type of plastic in it. However, to give the pipetting requirements that we need, especially with some of the customers' more challenging liquids, you need to have different additives in the plastic or coatings, which unfortunately makes them less recyclable. So it's a trade-off with performance versus recyclability. And another thing is lightweighting. So you'd naturally say make reservoirs as thin as possible, use as little plastic as possible. But if you do that, then you may have issues with distortion and warping, and they're just not stable enough for what the customer needs. And then in terms of packaging for transit, you'd want lightweight, fewer cardboard boxes, minimize all the packaging. But if you're not careful, you may have transit damage and things get to customers unable to be used. So it really is a balancing act between trying to be sustainable and actually give the robustness and the quality of the product.
Thank you, Helen. So, Paresh, in your role as consumables product manager, I was just wondering, how is kind of a company's taken a different approach? Is there, innovative designs that are going on to try and create more sustainable products?
I mean, sure. Like, when we talk about innovation in terms of design, not only consumables, but both, like, from the technology side and the consumable side. And if you purely focus on the liquid handling part of the lab workflow, I would say having a better solutions around non-contact dispensing side can significantly reduce the number of tips that are used in the lab. Another area is assay miniaturization. So obviously, you're not only reducing plastic that comes from tips and plates or tubes, for example, but also you're significantly reducing reagent waste by doing assay miniaturization. And I think the third part is around more like a packaging of the tips or syringes. So when you look at like traditional packaging of pipette tips, it usually comes in 96 or 384 format racks. Now, when you look at the plastic waste, it's mostly associated with the tip racks. At least two-thirds of the plastic waste comes from the tip racks. Now, I think we need better solution in terms of how these tips can be packaged and provided to lab users. I think Mosquito is a really good example. So Mosquito tips are packaged in a spool format, instead of a tip rack format. So a single spool can have somewhere around 26,000 to 36,000 tips, which is equivalent to 200 to 300 tip racks. Now, if you compare a single mosquito spool in a final packaging, which is like a large pizza box, to a 200 to 300 tip racks, you can significantly reduce plastic that comes from the consumables. And it's not just a reduction in plastic, it's also a reduction in overall carbon footprint that comes from producing and shipping these consumables to lab users.
And so for those then that are still using, as you say, that's traditional pipette tip racks, is there anything that can be done to cut down on plastics usage in that design?
No, absolutely. Like, you know, as I was saying earlier, like, you know, the majority of the weight comes from the hard plastic tip racks. And these tip racks don't even come in contact with the samples or solution. So they could be easily replaced with better alternatives. With our own Apricot range, actually, we are currently working on different solutions where we can replace the hard plastic tip racks with much lighter packaging solution. And our aim is to basically replace our hard plastic tip racks gradually with these eco packs, where we can at least see a plastic reduction of 60%. So again, it's not just a reduction in plastic, it's also the overall reduction in carbon footprint, which will come from, you know, from shipping these tip racks and also the recycling part. So okay, that we can see a significant improvement on those side as well.
And you mentioned recycling, and I know there's been a trend, not just in the life science industry, but across lots of different industries about incorporating more recycled materials into new products and packaging. So is that something that can be translated into consumables, do you think?
So definitely on the consumables, on the consumables packaging. So something that happened when we invented Dragonfly Discovery, we had a new series of syringes which have a tiny 0.4 millimeter orifice and a very sharp point. So they need protecting really carefully. So in the early days of the development, we had pretty much bulletproof packaging because we were so concerned about them getting damaged whilst we were testing them. And then when it went to production, I got to have one of my guilty pleasures, which is packaging design, which I'm mildly obsessed about, and came up with some fully productionized packaging, which we really focus on sustainability there. So working with a packaging supplier who actually did do a lot of work in food industry, they had a different perspective on it and talked to us about recycled plastic. So the tray design that we came up with in the end is actually 70% recycled PET, and it's in a sandwich version of the material. So it has virgin pure polymer on the top and bottom layers, and then the 70% recycled material making the body of the tray. So we have a nice clean pure material in contact with our syringes and using as much recycled as possible. And then designing that tray was great fun, trying to come up with the minimum size of it to protect the syringes, coming up with features that would protect it in transit, and then even going down, how thin can we make the tray? So the original ones, I don't know if the sound comes through on this, but they were so crinkly and horrible. It was quite upsetting. So going thicker and thicker, but not overkill. And one of my favorite bits of the project is I decided it was completely necessary to get a tray of syringes and drive my car over it at low speed. This is the actual one. I still have it in my office desk just as a souvenir. So that was, sounds ridiculous, but it was actually serious science to try and minimize the packaging but also make it sustainable. So that was a real focus from the beginning of launching that product to market.
No, you're right. I mean, it does sound funny, but it is it is the testing that needs to be done, as you said. Yes. To meet these kind of stringent requirements that's needed. Yes. And then I guess another requirement for a lot of labs is the need for sterile consumables because of the nature of the work they do.
Yes, so, yes. Sterility, yes, is definitely that's much more serious in a way, because we have to be very careful with the materials we use, the manufacturing processes. So making the consumables in a different environment, clean room environments in some cases. And there's internal practices, like we would normally try and recycle trays internally, recycle packaging for internal processing. But on a sterile product, we can't risk that. So unfortunately, when you move towards sterile, it does make you go towards more packaging. You are more likely to have individual packets, foil Ziploc pouches on top. So that is really a challenge with the market moving towards sterility and purity, that it makes our sustainability much more difficult to achieve.
Yeah. And it's not just in production and packaging. Paresh, earlier on, you mentioned shipping. That's obviously a big factor if you're sending consumables, you know, around the world. There's labs based all over. So just kind of thinking of that as a concept, is there anything that can be done to minimize the carbon footprint of transport?
No, yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, when you look at any lab setting, you will have multiple labs users sharing the same space, so same instruments, same consumables. Generally, what we have seen is that in any given lab, like, you usually get multiple orders of consumables from different users. And what this leads to is basically multiple shipments to the same lab. And we generally encourage our customers basically to pull all their consumables orders into single shipment, so we can reduce the overall carbon footprint that comes just by shipping the same amount of consumables. You know, having 15 to 20 deliveries, you can just have like a 2 or 3 deliveries. So customers will still have enough consumables to do their experiments, but they can plan ahead and order like collectively.
I'd add to that as well that there are other things that we can do logistically with our consumables, with, for example, trying to distribute from third-party logistics warehouses. So instead of shipping everything from our UK manufacturing site, trying to keep pockets of stock much closer to our local customers. So this has sustainability improvements with shipping one bulk shipment instead of 50 small parcels to 50 different places. We can use minimal packaging because we can consolidate in a larger crate. And then there's the added bonus that it allows us to be more responsive to our customers because we have stock that's closer to them geographically.
Yeah, ultimately, we do need the customer experience to be as smooth as possible while we're also trying to, you know, be more sustainable. So thinking about the customers, Paresh, I know you speak quite a lot with them. What's the response been like from them in terms of the drive towards more sustainable practices? Is there anything particular that you've heard from them?
Yes, absolutely. Like with our own customers, I've noticed that lab users are generally interested to move towards a much more sustainable solution, not only the consumables, but overall from the technology side as well. And to be honest, more and more customers are asking about alternative solutions which are more environmentally friendly. But I have noticed that there is a knowledge gap within the lab users, and sometimes they don't have enough time and resources to do their own research to find out suitable solution. And sometimes even when they identify a solution, they don't know how to implement in the lab. So I think the lab users will need some training and support from their senior management so they can successfully implement these solutions in the lab.
Thank you. And so it seems to me clear that there's still progress to be made and discussions are being had. And so in your eyes, what do you think are the biggest challenges around sustainability and consumables usage? And then also from that, what opportunities that does that present us with to improve what we're doing?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if I look at it from the eyes of a solution provider, I think our main challenge is to provide an alternative solution which not only meets the downstream requirements of the lab users, but it's also accessible and affordable. And then there's a huge opportunity like for someone on the design and manufacturing side of liquid handling solutions, where you can design innovative products which offers the benefit of non-contact dispensing, SA miniaturization, for example, which can help us overall a reduction of carbon footprint. And when we look at purely from the consumable side, it's also opportunity to address the issue as the source. A lot of consumables right now, they are produced from fossil-based polymers. They could be easily replaced with bio-based polymers, at least in most of the applications. So I think there's a lot needs to be done in that side as well.
And I'd say from a manufacturing point of view, in terms of the challenges, so in an ideal world, we'd be maintaining or enhancing our performance and then working on the product to make it more sustainable, more lightweight, etc. However, one of the real challenges we have at the moment is increasing regulations. For example, the PFA chemicals in plastics, they're trying to tighten down the regulations and controls on those, which means that manufacturers need to look at reformulating plastics, changing coatings, etc., just to comply with upcoming regulation, which means that we're going to have to work hard just to try and keep where we are, never mind like trying to improve the product to be even more sustainable. So that is definitely a challenge. But in terms of opportunities, there are things that we could look at where if we have customer sites with very large installations or multiple customers in close proximity, maybe we can look at different packaging, special packaging bundles of like returnable, reusable large crates and minimize cardboard and just have internal packaging. There's things that we could start looking at. So it's not a brick wall, but there are some definite challenges out there.
Yeah, and I think the more conversations that we have about it and sharing ideas, then hopefully we can, yeah, find new ways to meet those challenges. Yeah. Well, thank you both for joining us. I guess just quickly before we wrap things up, if you both had one takeaway for our audience today that are listening, what would that be? Helen, if we go back to you.
I would say when you talk about single-use consumables and sterility, sustainability seems almost counterintuitive. But with innovation in materials and design, we can still make a positive impact. So we need to keep striving for that.
Thank you. Yeah. How about you, Paresh?
I think from the solution provider's point of view, I would say that we know that end users are interested in better alternative solutions. So we need to collaborate and work more closely with these lab users so we can understand the pain points, you know, when transitioning from current plastic consumables to environmentally sustainable solutions, so we can offer them better solutions.
Thank you. Well, thank you both for joining us. I hope the listeners found this discussion useful. If you've got any comments or insights about consumables or ideas on any other topics that you'd like us to cover, or even if you'd like to appear on an episode yourself, then you can reach out to us at community@sptlabtech.com. We've got a lot more content on the way, so make sure that you're subscribed to catch new episodes as they're released. So lastly, thank you again to Helen and Paresh. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again soon. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.